This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, welcome everyone. Shalom Aleichem. Meseches Yevamos, Daf Yud Gimel. So the Gemara was discussing the possibility of a woman who is a minor becoming pregnant to a viable pregnancy. Yes, last night we learned we discussed the sugya that whether a katana could use a moich, but there is the opinion of the Tanakhama that a katana could be mishameshes b'moich because maybe she'll become pregnant and maybe she'll die. So the Gemara asks, in that case, then you could have a case of chamois or shamianu. You could have a mother-in-law who did miyun, because you could have a mother-in-law who gave birth as a katana and yet she could still do miyun. So the first the Gemara says, no, it's impossible, she'll for sure die. And then the Gemara says, no, really, maybe a mother-in-law could have given birth as a katana. However, banim harehim kasimanim. If you have children, it renders you a gedoyla. So once you're a gedoyla, you can't do miyun. And then the Gemara brought a different opinion that maybe banim is even better than simanim. The Gemara says, regarding what is banim better than simanim? The Gemara says, even according to Rabbi Huda, that it's not enough to have two pubic hairs. You have to have an abundancy of black. But banim would certainly constitute as a valid siman that one is a gedoyla. So now the Gemara continues. Reb Zvid Amar, Reb Zvid says, "Ein banim b'loy simanim." Not the pshat that banim are simanim. Not that having children is a siman that you're a gedoyla. Maybe banim is not a siman that you're a gedoyla, but you cannot have children unless you already had two pubic hairs. In other words, it's not a siba, it's a siman. It's not a siba that you're a gedoyla. It's a siman that you have other symptoms that you're a gedoyla. It says Rashi in banim alei simanim hayoledes bekatnos, one who gives birth as a ketana chazaka hivya simanim. There's a chazaka she must have brought simanim, and she hivya simanim b'toch yud beis, and once she brings simanim within 12 months, like timayin, she can't do miyon. The hani simanim gemurim nino. These are full fledged simanim. The sfir leiler of zid, Rav Ziv holds toich zman kala acher zman inyan simen. Meaning there is an opinion if you bring two pubic hairs before you're 12 years old, it's not really a sign of gadlus. Instead, it's merely shuma. It's just like some kind of birthmark, but it doesn't show sign that you're a gedayla. So Reb Zvid holds no. If you had children, you must have had pubic hairs, and we assume those pubic hairs are valid. A sign that you are a gedoyla. Says the Gemara, that implies that it's not absolute you have pubic hairs, it's just a presumption. Venivdike. So why don't we check if you have them, and if you don't have them, then you're not a gedoyla. And in that case, you could have a ketana shemiana. You could have chamoisa shemiana, because even though there's a presumption in banim b'lai simanim, but let's give a bedika. So the Gemara says, no, if someone gave birth, then you could assume their pubic hairs, and even if you can conduct an investigation and you don't find the hairs, you could safely assume they fell out. Chashinan Shema Nashu, we're afraid that maybe they fell out. Says Gemara, but there is an opinion that we're not worried that maybe hairs fell out. Hani Chalamanda Amar Chayshishin. This is all fine and dandy, according to the Manda Amar, that a person could have pubic hairs and they could fall out. Ela lamanda amar in choshesh in ma'ikel meimar, but according to the manda amar that we are not choshesh, what are you going to say? Says the Gemara, even the opinion that we're not choshesh that pubic hairs fall out, mishum tsar le de chayshinan. There is the possibility that because of the distress of childbirth, it could really jar a woman, and she's considered. And there is a possibility that the pubic hairs fell out. Okay, new sugya. So Tosis has a gevaldige kasha. Ready for this, Philip? Kasha is, if there's a chash because of the tzar lei that maybe the pubic hairs fell out, so do the bedika before she gives birth. How's that? If the only chash that maybe it fell out is because maybe the tzar lei is going to shake her up, so in the emergency room, we'll ask her if she's strep. I don't forget. What do we ask them? strep positive, strep negative, and you know, part of the investigation, we'll check for pubic hairs. It's not, it's the tzar leida, but so check before. Taisa wants to know. The time I came, the ain banim lay simanim mishasa ibor nivda kame leida vileka simanim leka lamecha shemanasha tkali aboy tzar leida. So Taisa says it's not the tzar leida only. The lavdafka naka tzar leida dua dinami the mishum tzar ibor chayshino shemanasha. It's not per se the tzar of the childbirth. It's also the tzar of the pregnancy. Okay. We have a very controversial Gemara here. So the Gemara says like this. The Mishnah said, Ketzad Poitroi Saritzein. How does a Erva Pater Tzar? And the Gemara says, the Erva married Reuven, and Reuven had another wife, and then Reuven dies, and the co-wife marries Shimon, and Shimon has another wife, so the co-wife asers her co-wife. Minahani Mili, how do I know a co-wife asers her co-wife? Om Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Amar Kra Litzrar, HaToira Ribsa Tzareis Harba. The Torah includes many Tzareis. Ravashi Amar, Ravashi says, Svarahi. How do you know Tzara Tzara is Asur? It's a Svara. Tzara, my time asira. Why is it Tzara Asur? Debemakayim Erva Kaima. Why is it Tzara Asur? Because she's standing in the place of an Erva. Meaning, she is a brother's wife, and she's falling together with an erva, and the Torah says latsur. So now, since she is with an erva, so she cannot fall to yibum. So once she can't fall to yibum, tsaras tsara nami vakam erva kaima. Tsaras tsara is also in the place of an erva, because she's falling with a tsara. So the Gemara says that there are two sources. There's Machloikis, how do I know Tzara Tzara? Rav Yehuda says from Litzrar, Rav Ashi says it's a Svara. Now, you know there's a famous rule, whenever you see a circle with a line in it, Rabbi Kiva Eger is not far away. You know that rule? It's one of the rules in the Constitution of the United States of America. That whenever you see a circle with a line in it, it means Rabbi Kiva Eger is close by. So if you look in the Goyen Hashas, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, look at Beis Amud Aleph, Tosfos, Dibrei HaMaskil Ad Sof. Here's, but before we see that Tosfos, you have to know a Pasha Gemara on Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara had a Braisa on, Gimel Amud Beis. And the Braisa on Gimel Amud Beis wants to know, Minahani Mili. And the Gemara says, Ein Li Elohein Tzor Seminayin. Ain li elahid sarasuminayin tamil or latsar. Ain li elahid sarasuminayin tamil loimar litsrar. So we have a braisa that says that the source of sarasara is litsrar. So how could you have a Gemara with Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Ashi offering different opinions? You have an explicit braisa. The braisa says, we learn that from litsrar. So what's Rav Ashi saying? It's a svara. It's a kasha. Tosfos is kasha on Beis Amud Aleph. Second Tosfos in the Masechta, Tosfos says, "Ulakama," on the end of the second Tosfos, the second to last narrow line, "Dekaboy mino ani mili," says Tosfos. When our Gemara asks, "How do I know lo yat sara sarasein kamar?" The shy of the Gemara is not, "How do I know it's saras sara?" To behead your darshlu, because that's a beferish brayis on Gimel Amud Beis. "Dekaboy mino ani mili." Right, the behed yadar shlu b'braisa mi litzrar. The braisa learns it explicitly out of litzrar. The shayla of mino ani mili here is not how do I know tzara tzara. Tzara tzara I learned from litzrar. The shayla is how do I know beyond tzara tzara. Number 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Ela afilu hein mea demas nisim kai. It's going on when the Mishnah says even 100. So Yehuda says they're all learned out of litzrar. Litzrar says tzara is harbe. Just like it includes number 2, it includes 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, ad infinitum. Ravashi tzavar, no, litzvar was only mashma too. Elotre, vafilu hein mea, even 100. Where'd everybody go? Even. 1 second. So again, Tosis is, Tosis was saying, the kasha again was that the Braisa says explicitly we learn out Sarasara from Litzrar. And how could the Gemara bring in Rav Ashi, who Rav Ashi says it's a Svara? So the way Tosis learns the Sugya is that Sarasara we learn from Litzrar, and Ad Meya, that is a Machlokes, Rav Ashi and Rav Yehuda, whether it's learned from Litzrar or it's a Svar. That's Tosis on Beis Amud Aleph. It's a pretty important Tosis. It comes up a number of times. Okay. Weiter. Ketzad imesu hein. Fine. So now the Mishnah said that if the Erva dies, or if, let's say, the Erva gets divorced, or if the Erva does Mion, the halacha is, then the Tzara is mutter. Says the Gemara, that implies not only if, let's say, you first divorced the Erva and then married a Tzara. In other words, like this. Let's say Reuven married the daughter of Shimon. He then divorced her. And then he married Shprinsa. So Shprinsa was never the Tzara of Bitai. And then Reuven dies, so then obviously Shimon can marry this Shprinsa, because Shprinsa was never a co-wife to the daughter of Shimon. So the Mishnah says, Ketzad emesu v'afilu kanas l'fsoif girish. Even if, let's say, you first married the Tzara and then you divorced the Erva. Meaning, even if they were simultaneous co-wives, nevertheless, if at the time that they fell to Yibum, they were not co-wives, so then the Erva will not aser the Tzara. Uraminhu, we're going to ask a stira from this Braisa. The implication of the Braisa, Daf Lamed. Is it a Braisa or a Mishnah? I think it's a Mishnah. The implication is that no, that the heter of a Tzara is only if they were never Tzarais at all. Gimel Achim, let's say you have three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, Shnayim, Mehan, Nesuim, Beis Achayas. Two are married to two sisters. Reuven and Shimon were married to Rachel and Leah. V'achad Nasoi Nachris. And one of them was married to a Stama woman. So Levi was married to Yanta. Girish Echad Mibale Achayos Ishtai. Let's say one of the two brothers who is married to a sister died. Divorced his wife. So Shimon, who is married to Rachel, Shimon divorced Rachel. Umeis Hanasoi Nachris. And then Levi, who is married to Yanta, died. So Shimon used to be married to one of the sisters, Rachel. But Shimon...
I don't think Levi was the one who was married to the Nachris.
Why?
We must be talking about the kid, because what's the difference if Levi was married to one of the Nachris? Here we're going to talk about where it would be Achol's Ishto would be the Tzar. If you divorced one of them, then the Nachris is left over from that, no?
I don't think so. Here, let's try this, okay?
I didn't look ahead, but... That would seem to make
a
logical assumption.
Here, okay, let me just say it out. Let's see if it works. Okay. So Gemara, it says, Gimel Achim, Nashim Ahim, Shnaim Ahim, Nesun Beza Chais. Again, Reuven is married to his sister, Vecha Nasa Nachris. Lady is married to Yenta. Girish Achim, Vale Achais Ishtoi. So Shimon divorced his wife. One of those married to the sister divorced his wife. Umeis Hanasoi Nachris, and Levi, who was married to Yenta, he died. Levi died. Vikansa hamagarish, and Shimon, who divorced Rachel, married Yenta, right? Umeis, and now Shimon dies. So this woman was never a tzara with a sister, and she falls to Reuven. Umeis, and Shimon dies. Zuhi shamru, about such a case, Chazal say sheim meisu, if they die, or they divorce their wife. In other words, if the woman dies, if Rachel were to have died, or if Shimon were to have divorced Rachel, Tzareisen Mutarais, Yenta's Mutar. So this is a case where Shimon once upon a time was married to a sister, but the sister either died or he divorced her before he married Yenta. That's the case. Okay? So we're going to be medayek from this case. The reason why, if Shimon dies and Yenta falls to Reuven, Reuven can marry her, is because Yenta was never a tsaras eshes achasisha. Yenta was never tsaras achasisha. Taima the gireish v'achakach kanas. Reason is because Shimon divorced her and then he married Yenta. Aval kanas. But if he were to have married Yenta, v'achakach gireish, and then he would have divorced Rachel, loy, because that would have taka been tsaras erva. Even though they didn't fall together, but if they were married together, that's a tzara. In other words, right now the Gemara is debating what is the heter if there's a death or a divorce to matter the tzara. Is that so long as the death or divorce happens before the women fall to Yibam, or does it have to happen before they were ever in the same household together? So the Mishnah seems to say, even if he married and then divorced the Erva, and this Mishnah on Daf Lamed seems to say no, only if he divorced and married before he married the Erva. In other words, it's only, excuse me, if the Erva died or was divorced before he married the Nachris. So the Gemara says, you're right. It's Taka Stira, Amar of Yirmiya. Tavra, break it in half. It's a Stira. Misha Shanazu, Lai Shanazu. Whoever learned the Mishnah on Beis did not learn the Mishnah on Lamed. The Mishnah on Beis holds that it works as long as the death or divorce was before the Tzara fell to Yibam, then that is sufficient, as long as they were not co-wives at the time of Yibam, even if they were once upon a time co-wives. The Mishnah on Daf Lamed holds that it has to be that you divorced or the Erva died before you married the co-wife. Hai Tana Savar Misama Pelas. The Tana of our Mishnah holds that it's the death of the husband that causes an Erva and her co-wife to fall to Yibam, and therefore, as long as they're not together at the time of Nefila, it's not a problem. But Hai Tana Savar, the Tana Daf Lamed holds, Nesuin Harishoinim Mapilim. It's the initial marriage, the original marriage, that causes them to fall to Yibam. Now, I would not have said the original marriage. I would have said the current marriage of Shimon causes the Erva and her Tzara to fall to Yibam. And therefore, if they were ever married to Shimon at the same time, Shimon's death will cause the Tzara to be Aser. But it's not the death of Levi that's causing it. What does it mean, Nesuin Harishonim? Now, remember we learned the rule today? Whenever you see a circle with a line in it, it means Rabbi Kivegar. This is somewhat of a point of Eon. In other words, why is the Gemara referring it to Nesuin Harishonim? L'chayro, the reference here is to the current marriage. Look at Rashi. V'tana de Braisa Savar. The Tana de Braisa holds Nesuin Harishonim Shoisha Nasais Labala. The original Nesuin, that the woman is married to the husband, Ma'pilim Oisa Liibam, causes her to fall to Yibam. In other words, once they are married together, that is a preparatory stage of Yibam. Hilkach Mishanas is Tzaras Erva Sha'achas. Once she becomes a Tzaras Erva for even a moment, Asura Oilamis. Okay, finally we come to the last stanza of the Mishnah. The last stanza of the Mishnah is V'chol she'yecholah l'mayin. Any woman who could do miyun and doesn't do miyun, sarasa cholatzes v'loy misya bemes. any erva katana who could do miyun and doesn't, and the brother dies, since the fact that she could do miyun indicates that she was married off only midrabanan and her kedushin is midrabanan, so she's never going to ask her the tzara from chalitza. She'd only ask her the tzara from yibum, but there's still she's still falling midoraisa, and therefore she requires chalitza not yibum. So now the Gemara has a gevaldik akasha. The reason why anyone who could have done miyun but doesn't, the tzara you do chalitza to, or requires chalitza, not yibum, it's because her marriage is midrabanan. But we all know that that if a woman could do miyun, if she does, she's oiker the marriage, the mafreya. So why doesn't she just do miyun? And then it turns out she was never married to the deceased brother, and she never falls to yibum. And then you could do yibum to the tzara. Vrakta gemara v'timayin hashta v'tisyabim. Why don't we just say, let her do yibum miyun now and do yibum to the tzara? Rashi v'timayin. Rashi's in smack in the middle of the page. Let the erva do miyun now, and say she didn't want the kedushin that my mother, my brother married me off, and then the kedushin is batal, and do yibum to the tzara. Why don't you do yibum to the tzara? Because midaraisa, it's a tzara sarva. Make it not a tzara sarva. Because we know the way that miyun works is she's oikar, the original kedushin. So since she could say, look, I never liked the guy anyway, because, I don't know, he didn't learn mesachta yivamis enough, you know? That's what I really wanted. I wanted a husband who learned mesachta yivamis. So let her do miyun now. And let her be oikar the marriage. Says the Gemara, Lema Messiah, Lela Rabbi Shia. The fact that we're not considering the possibility of her doing miyun to the husband, this seems to support the position of Rabbi Shia, Damar Rabbi Shia, Mima Enes, Lima Amaroi, Venima Menes, Lazikasai. Miyun only works for Maimar. What does that mean? That if a woman falls to Yibum and the Yavam does Maimar to her, which is Kedushin Midrabanon, she could do miyun to that and be oiker the maimar, but she's then left with the original zika to that yavam, and she has to do chalitza. So miyun does, according to Rabbi Ishia, only removes the kedushin derabbanon that a yavam may have done to her, but it does not remove the etzem zika. Rashi says mimamenes lamamari. This that we learned later on in Perek Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Oimrim, Bebalu V'yama, B'yavam, L'ma'amaroi. She can only do miyun to Maimar. So that if the Yavam does Maimar to the Yavam Katana, and she does miyun, she's mafkia the Maimar. And now she reverts back to only having Zika, and you do Chalitza to her. But she cannot do miyun to her zika to uproot the original kedushin. Meaning, the opinion of Rabbi Ishia is that miyun will not uproot the original marriage. If it would uproot the original marriage, then that means miyun could take care of the zika. But the fact that it doesn't take care of the zika means the zika is still there. Rabbi Ishia is of the opinion that she cannot uproot the original marriage, and therefore she cannot go out without chalitza. So to this erva, her miyun is not going to get her out of the zika to the yavam, so she's going to be zakup to the yavam, and she's going to asur her tzara to for yibam, because the opinion of Rabbi Ishia is miyun cannot be oiker the kedushin l'mafreya, at least not to the extent to matter the tzara. So the Gemara says no, loy, no. Really, I'll tell you, Rabbi Ishia is wrong. And really, I'll tell you, miyun is oiker the kedushin. And really, if it's oiker the kedushin, you should be able to do yibum to the tzara. But like we had on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, tzara sarva shani, the tzara of an erva is different. The tani Rami Bar Yechezkel, because Rami Bar Yechezkel taught, miyana bibal, if she does miyun to the husband, Muteres la'aviv. She's mutter to the father. This is Stama case. Rami Bar Yechezkel said the following. a woman who, let's say a ketana, was married to a guy and then does mian to the baal, even though she lived with him, she could marry her this guy's father. So imagine she was married to a guy for 10 years, not for 10 years, for a couple years, and then she did mion, she could marry the father because she's uprooting the Kedushin Lamafreya. So she's just living with, he is living with Anusas Benoit, which is Mutter. You're allowed to live with Anusas Benoit. Where do we have that? We have that in Dalet Amud Aleph, in a Mishnah. But let's say she didn't get a chance and her husband died without children and she wants to do Mian to the Yavam. And she's going to be Oiker, the original Kedushin. Asura la'aviv, she will be Asur to the father. Why? What's the difference? Why will she be Asur to the father? Alma mishas nefila neres kechalasa, because once she falls in Yibam, she looks like the daughter-in-law. Meaning, if she stayed with the Kedushin to the extent that she was married to the guy and then he died and she falls in Yibam, even though by doing Mion she's Oiker the whole relationship, but the fact that she falls, it looks like she had a formal relationship and she cannot live with her former husband's father. So once she falls in Yibam, she's stuck. Hachanami, here also, in this case, where a woman is falling to Yibam. Let's say your daughter is falling to Yibam. Since she falls to Yibam, so then her tsara looks like tsaras bitai. Niris ka tsaras bitai. Okay? Weiter. We continue on in the Mishnah. This Mishnah, we had quoted many times. We had this on Gimel Amud Beis. Sheish arayos chamaros me'elo. Six arayos are more chamor than these. What's these? When we say six arayos are more chamor than these, what we mean is than the 15 mentioned in the Mishnah. The 15 arayos mentioned in the Mishnah, they're not your relative. These women are not related to you from your father's side. So since they're not related to you from your father's side, they can end up marrying your brother from the father. But the following six arayos, it's not that they're more chamor, it's just that since they're related to you, mitzad ha'av, they'll never marry your brother from the father. So, sheish arayos chamuros me'elo, the following six arayos are more chamur than the 15 mentioned earlier. Mipnei nesuos la'achirim, because they can only marry others, and they cannot marry the brother. And therefore, tzoros en mutaros. Therefore, if they marry a stranger, and the stranger dies, the tzara is mutar, because it's not a tzaras erva b'makom yibam. Who's this? Imai, your mother. Now we had before that the Imai over here is Anusas Aviv, but not Eshes Aviv. And the reason why it can't be Eshes Aviv even Anusas Aviv is because the town of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, who asters Anusas Aviv. So, Ima, your mother, in other words, but not your father's wife. Ve'eshes aviv, or if your father's wife. Ve'achos aviv, or your father's sister. Your brother from the father cannot marry your father's sister. Achos me'aviv, your sister from the father. Your paternal sister. Ve'eshes achi aviv, and your brother from the father's wife. Let's say your brother dies with children. That woman will never marry your brother, because to him it's Eishas Ach. Shalai b'makam Yibam. Ve'eishas Achiv me'avav. And your brother and your father's brother's wife can't marry your brother. And now we come to a very interesting statement, something that we're going to discuss at length at the end of the parak. And that is, until now we always assumed Tzaras Erva is Aser, but this is not unanimously held. This is only the opinion of Beis Hillel. But Beis Shammai disagrees. Beis Shammai matirin hatzoros achim. Beis Shammai says that tzoros can marry the brothers. Beis Hillel oisrim, Beis Hillel asers. So this is an example where Beis Hillel is more machmir than Beis Shammai. And that is exactly where we're going to hold it here. We'll finish the Mishnah Be'ezus Hashem tomorrow, and we shall proceed. Okay, sorry for the glitch in the Zoom. Shkoyach Reb Philip for the relief pitch, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a good one.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.